Mark chapter 1 and verse number 16. Now as he, speaking of Jesus, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, we begin to prepare our heart for our spring attendance push, Lord, that you'd take these Sunday nights in the month of September and stir some things in us. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help the excitement of what's ahead to build in our hearts. Lord, it's always fun to be a laborer in the harvest. It's always a wonderful thing to be involved in bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a nobler pursuit? Is there a greater privilege than to be a co-laborer of Jesus Christ? You said you came to seek and save that which was lost. And Lord, thank you for inviting us to participate with you in this great endeavor. And so I pray, Lord, that you would bless the message tonight, prepare our hearts for the weeks ahead. And may we be very much soul sensitive, dear God, even tonight on our way home, maybe tomorrow as we go about the workplace and into the everyday world. May we have the heart of Christ in looking and noticing maybe that one that others would overlook. A chance, dear God, to pass out a gospel tract, to share maybe our salvation testimony, perhaps even an opportunity to open the sacred Bible, the Word of God that we've been reminded of tonight, it's how precious it is and how powerful it is, and to share some of the verses that teach men the salvation story. Lord, whatever way we could be used, we would want to be. And Lord, I pray that you'd embolden us, empower us, dear God. Make us aware, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to call tonight's message, Let's Go Fishing. Let's Go Fishing. All through the Bible, we find mentioned again and again one of God's creation that's played a key role in the history of mankind. Again and again, fish. Yes, fish. Are found in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, we see God create fish for man's usage. God giving mankind dominion over the fish of the sea. Genesis chapter 9, we see the post-flood civilization that sprung from Noah and his children are given fish as one of the main food supplies. And by the way, history and archaeology teach us that most of the people groups that sprung up after the flood settled along the sea coast or freshwater lakes or rivers. Why? Because of the fish that they could harvest in those areas. Exodus chapter 7, when God sent Moses to judge a stiff-necked, hard-hearted Pharaoh, one of his judgments involved turning the river Nile to blood. And by the way, we see the results of that in verse 21. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. This judgment not only affected their freshwater supply, it also killed off their main food supply. Deuteronomy chapter 4, the children of Israel are forbidden to make graven images, forbidden specifically in sculpturing one such idol in particular, that being a fish. God mentioned this because many pagan people groups worshiped the fish because of the importance it was in sustaining their communities. One of the gates, by the way, in Jerusalem is known as the Fish Gate. God once created a special great fish for the express purpose of swallowing a backslidden prophet by the name of Jonah. It was one of the few times in history where a fish caught a man, and that happened there in the book of Jonah. In the Gospels, Jesus used fish and fishermen often in his parables. Twice he miraculously multiplied fish and bread to feed a great multitude. Of the 12 men that he called to personally train as his disciples, we know that at least four were fishermen. Two different times in the Gospels, he directed fishermen to fish in a place where they caught a miraculous number of fish. Now, Jesus was no stranger to the sea, as he crossed it often by boat and at least once by simply walking on the water. One of the first sermons he preached from a fishing boat. Once he is found frying fish to feed his hungry, but at that time backslidden disciples, John chapter 1. I say all this to make a simple point. When Jesus, the creator of the universe, began to talk about fish and fishing, he was an authority on the subject. In our passage, we see Jesus, he lays down an astonishing challenge to four professional fishermen. These weren't guys that were out there just as a hobby. This wasn't some weekend getaway. Jesus says to these professional fishermen, he said this, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Now, wait a minute. We've heard that verse so many times, it doesn't take us by surprise. But can you imagine hearing that for the very first time? Imagine you're one of these ancient fishermen. Imagine your initial reaction to such a bizarre invitation. You're in a boat, casting your net. Suddenly, someone wants you to forsake what you're doing. Not for a moment, not for an hour, not for a day. But he wants you to drastically alter the main focus of your life for the rest of your life. Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Imagine that you're James and John and you're on the shore mending your nets. And again, this man, many say is the Messiah, suddenly is standing there next to you. And again, he issues this amazing challenge. "Come ye after me and I will make you to become fishers of men." Now, I think that there's one thing in this story that's more amazing than the invitation. The thing that amazes me is the response of these four fishermen to this invitation. The Bible says, "And straightway they forsook all." And straightway they forsook all and followed him. Can I tell you one of the absolute mandatory necessities to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Can I tell you what it takes if you want to be effectively and efficiently become a fisher of men? Young people, look right up here, and we are blessed, and you blessed us tonight. I've said this often, that I was a youth pastor here. I'd stand before youth groups like you, and I would say something like this. I would say, you know what? Out of our youth group, God may select a handful of you to go into full-time Christian service. Not every one of you will be a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary. But I always said this to our young people, every single young person that goes through the system here and grows up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, every single one of you are required by the Scriptures to spend your life being a soul winner. Being a soul winner. He may not call you to preach, but he will make sure that you understand, if you're around here very long, that the commission is for you to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most important opportunities that we give you every Wednesday is an opportunity to go youth soul winning. Look right up here. Let me help you for a minute here. Every week, week in, week out, like anything that we do on a regular basis, if we're not careful, we just start kind of going through the motions. And I was guilty of that as a teenager sometime. Sometimes we just kind of say, instead of the most we can do, let's do the least we can do. Or, you know what, maybe we just give them a track and an invitation instead of going ahead and asking the question, offering to share a testimony, offering to open the Bible and show them to be saved. But young people, listen to me. If there's anything you ought to focus on with laser focus, if there's anything you ought to take full advantage of, it ought to be the opportunity to be trained on Wednesdays in this matter of becoming fisher of men. And so, you know what? You have a great opportunity. There is no greater accomplishment, I believe, as a Christian, any greater thing that you're allowed to do than to see to it that God uses you to bring somebody to an understanding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. To begin, watch this, don't get over. By the way, Brother Tristan came just a few weeks ago, excited into church. Just got into our soul winning program. Couldn't wait to find me as a preacher. I won my first soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. First soul. And I'm not picking on our adults, but I will tell you this, Tristan, you've done something that we have some adults in our church that have never done yet. It's not that they don't desire to, and that's not their prayer, but they've never just stopped and went on someone on the street, carried on a conversation, shared their testimony, opened the Bible, showed Scripture, and watched somebody be saved. You know, folks, every time you get an opportunity to do that, it's like getting saved all over again. I don't know if there's anything greater in all the world. I can be having the worst day in the world and get to win somebody to Christ, and all of a sudden it becomes the best day of the week in my life. I remember when I turned 40, that was a long time ago, an entire decade ago. But I remember when I turned 40 on a Wednesday. And you know what? It was just another day here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I was a youth pastor. I spent the entire day in the Christian school. In the youth in the youth soul winning afterwards. And then Cheryl and me remember those days. Some of you wonder why we take Thursdays off and not Mondays like some preachers. It's because of all those years of being a youth pastor here. You get up from literally 5:36 in the morning till 11:30, 12 at night on a Wednesday. It was our longest day. We loved having Thursday off, and we just continued that. But it's a long day. And but I remember saying, Lord, you know what? There's no way in the world that we're going to take the day, any time today, to celebrate my birthday, and that's fine. I'll do it some other day. But Lord, I would like one thing. And I hardly ask anything for my birthday. But I said, Lord, I'd really like to win somebody to Christ today, just on my 40th birthday. And I went out, took some of the young men with me, and knocked on doors and do what I always have done, and tried to witness and do the best I can and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I got to share the gospel a couple times, but no one got saved. And I came back just a little bit discouraged, thinking, boy, I'd really like to have been able to win somebody to Christ today. And I remember that night, Dad preached, and I don't remember what the message was that night, but I remember God tenderized my heart, and I came to an altar, and I was praying by myself, and all of a sudden I felt someone kneel beside me, as you often do at Blessed Hope when you come to the altar. And next thing I know, somebody's tapping me on the arm, and I look over, and there's one of our bus teenagers that had come in that Wednesday night. And he leaned over to me and he said, Brother Jerry, he said, I've been worried for some time about my soul salvation. Could you show me how to be saved? And even though I didn't get to see somebody saved out on door-to-door visitation, my 40th birthday, kneeling right there, I got to open the Bible and tell somebody the wonderful story of the grace of Almighty God. What a blessing that God answered my prayer. He wasn't obligated to answer my prayer. He didn't have to answer my prayer, but he saw the desire of my heart, and he let me kneel down right there and open the Bible and lead someone to Christ. Let me say this. You know what? I'm glad that I was trained to win souls as a young man. I'm glad that it just became a natural way of life to me. I'm glad, watch this, that in Bible college they required us to go soul winning. Required us to go soul winning. You know what? That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing to be disciplined in this area of your life. I'm glad year after year after year since then. I can't sit up here and tell you that there's never been a week. I don't know. I don't keep track of these things. But I guarantee you there's very few weeks in my entire life, from probably 17 years old on to now, where sometime I didn't get the opportunity to share my testimony or pass out a gospel tract, or those wonderful times when you get to open the Bible and share with someone how to be saved. Are Christians, listen to me, are you going back down memory lane? I want to help you tonight. I'm not here to hurt you. I want to help you. I'm not here to browbeat you. I'm here to be a blessing to you. I want to encourage you. Part of following the Lord Jesus Christ is learning to become fishers of men. Fishers of men. Now, let me give you some things that we see in this story that I hope will be a blessing to you. I believe that there are some things that must be done on our part. Jesus extends an invitation. He lays out an opportunity, but there's some things that we must do in order to become a people that are busy about bringing others to Christ. First of all, we need to have the faith to accept the invitation. I wonder how inadequate Peter may have felt. He may have said, you know what, I'm real good out on this fishing boat, but I'm not much when it comes to talking to people. I wonder John, who, by the way, if you read the scriptures, was kind of quiet and tender-hearted and maybe not very bombastic and outspoken, but I wonder if he sat there in the humility of his heart and said, well, it might be good for these other guys, but I don't even know if I have the ability to speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what James thought. I don't know much of anything. I don't know their personality types. I know a little bit, I think, more about Peter than the others, but the Bible doesn't speak a lot to their personality. But I know this, if they're like the average group of people, there's no doubt one or more of them probably struggled in this area of just speaking to people, maybe in general and specifically about the Lord. But you know what? Thank God these four simple fishermen just stepped out of the boat and said, Jesus has presented us an invitation. Let's take him up on it. He said that if we'll follow him, he would make us to become fishers of men. So the first thing that you have to do is just decide to accept the invitation. Look right up here, folks. I'd like Blessed Hope Baptist Church people to get this point, not just let it go one in and out the other. Some of you have come, and I love you, and I'm glad you're a member here, and I love being your pastor, but you've come in here year after year after year, and you've never have gotten yourself involved in a soul-winning opportunity here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me invite you one more time to become a part of the great soul-winning outreach ministries here. We supply several different opportunities. We try to give you opportunities that make it convenient for you. But you know what? I can do everything but accept the invitation for you. You know what? I went. By the way, we had Brother Ron Comfort come to our pulpit and preach just recently. And one of the reasons I brought him to the pulpit was because as a 16-year-old young man, I went down to a special meeting, a gathering of young people, and heard that man preach. And he preached a message on the crucifixion. God didn't call me to preach that night. You know what God called me to do? He called me to be busy telling the story of the crucifixion. Listen, I thought to myself, if Jesus Christ is willing to do what he did on Calvary's cross, how could I not be willing to tell people about that? I went home that week after that. Wednesday night came. Thursday, we used to have Thursday night soul winning here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It was men's soul winning night. And you know what? We didn't have teen soul winning in those days. My dad was getting ready and went into the house. I heard him getting ready to go to soul winning. I went. I put on a nice pair of slacks and a shirt and a tie. And I was waiting in the foyer area of our home when Dad walked out. He looked at me kind of strangely. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Do you think maybe I could start going soul winning?" You know what I did that night? I accepted the invitation to begin the process of spending my life learning to become a fisher of men. There has to be that first time. There has to be that time where you say, you know what, this is what I do. Well, preacher, I did that once, and I stayed with it a little bit, but I've fallen away from it. That's why your preacher, God puts a message like this on his heart to come up and encourage you and say, you know what, get back out of the boat. Come on, accept the invitation. Jesus said, come ye after me, come ye after me, come ye after me. There's no way that we can claim to be a true follower of Jesus Christ if we're not involved in taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. So you have to have the faith to accept the invitation. Number two, you have to have the obedience to follow the invitator. Is that a word? The invitator. After you accept the invitation, Jesus then gives the command to follow him. Again, God's plan was to give us a free will. God wants you to follow his son, but he wants you to choose to follow his son. You know, after you get saved, there's some decisions you ought to make. Let me just review those quickly for some that haven't been here a long time. After you get saved and you have accepted the gift of eternal life, the first command is to be baptized. Isn't it interesting that right away as you become a child of God, the Father becomes the Father in your life and he begins to have commands and expectations upon you? It's not a bad thing. You know what he's saying? He's saying, follow me. I didn't save you so that you can just sit and sulk and sour. I've saved you so that you can get on your feet, get in behind me, and be discipled and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we had to choose to have the obedience to follow. You were given the invitation to be saved. You accepted that invitation. Have you been obedient in this matter of baptism? After baptism, have you been obedient in this matter of church membership and church attendance? As you hear the Word of God preached and the Bible challenges you in areas of your life, when you begin to learn the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots of the Bible, do you begin to line your life up accordingly in obedience to the Scriptures? Look right up here, parents. Are you teaching your children obedience? Well, I want to help you with something. Look right up here. Let me help you with something. We got a great group of kids around here, and I mean this. I'm not just patting you on the head. I think we got some of the most outstanding parents. I watch the way you're training your kids. I mean it. I'm so impressed. But listen to me, folks. Don't make excuses. Well, my child's just a strong-willed child. Well, my child just struggles in it. Now, wait a minute. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You don't have a right, young person, not to obey mom. You don't have a right not to obey your father. You don't have a Bible right not to do those things. Your mama says something to do something, you look at her and say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Your mama says, don't do that, you say, yes, ma'am. Don't give her an attitude. Don't roll your eyes. You obey. Obey them. Right. Now, this isn't a hard thing, and it's amazing how the devil wants to make this a hard thing in our lives. Oh, my goodness, preacher. Oh, yeah, God expects you to obey mom and dad. Your dad comes home and you want to do something, and you ask him, and he says, no, I don't think that's the thing. No, you just say, yes, sir. Put a smile on your face. Thank God you got a dad that cares about you. Thank God. You know, young person, you want to get on a road that's going to lead to some real problems? You want to get on a road that's going to lead to some real destruction in your life? And you get on that road where you begin to buck the authority of your parents in the home, where you begin to backtalk mom and refuse to obey dad. And the Bible talks about wasting and chasing away, wasting your father and chasing away your mother. Shameful things. Begin to treat them as if they're out of tune and old-fashioned and they don't get it. Oh, they get it. They get it. And that's not you thinking those things. That's somebody whispering those things in your ear. And that somebody smells like brimstone. It's the devil that encourages young people to rebellion. Don't ever go down that path. Don't go down that path. Obedience. Obedience. To follow the invitor. And so what we do is we get saved, and when we begin to understand that Jesus wants us to do certain things, then what we do is we obey. We obey by getting baptized. We obey in church membership, church attendance. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We obey the Word of God as we see it preached, and we have the Bible open in our lap, and we say, you know what? The preacher's just not saying that. Look at that. It's written down right there. Man, God wants me to do that. I'm going to start doing that. And we begin to live a life of obedience. Well, you're not going to read this Bible very long without getting into the commands concerning reaching a lost and dying world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you not feel the heartbeat of the Savior? Why did He come as a baby in a manger, preacher? Why was He there? Why was He raised? Why did the Word become flesh and dwell amongst us? He came for one purpose. The world was dying and going to hell, and it needed a Savior. And so He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so if you're going to follow Christ, you've got to learn to obey. Now just decide you're going to obey in this matter of finding time in your schedule to be a soul winner. Finding time during the day looking for opportunities to share your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to also encourage you by giving you this. You have to have faith to accept the invitation, obedience to follow the invitator, but you also have to have patience to be molded to His image. Notice what the statement is here. He said, I will make you to become. Now, I want to help some of you because some of you said, well, preacher, you know what? I wanted that and I desired that. And God stirred my heart about my responsibility and I've taken off in that direction. But it just didn't seem like it came very easily to me. And soon I just kind of gave up. Listen to me, folks. Growth in grace requires patience. You need to be patient with yourself. Some of you show great patience with other people, but you're too impatient with yourself. You're too hard on yourself sometimes. When I first started going soul winning, you know what? I went out and I didn't say a word. I just went. I just went with some men that would show me and teach me. I just stood and listened. I wasn't ready. I wouldn't have known what to say if they gave me the opportunity to say something. I wasn't at that time schooled and skilled in where to turn in the Bible and the sequence of verses. These were all things I was learning, and I began to learn and grow, and it was a process. But you know what? I got on the road. And I didn't get off the road. I didn't quit. It wasn't a phase or a fad. It was a lifetime heartfelt decision that I made at an altar at a youth meeting. And I made a vow that I would spend my life seeking lost people and trying to get the gospel to lost people. The greatest decisions of my life. And you know what? As I say, I haven't been perfect in this area. But if you look at my life, I have consistently honored the vow that I made before the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Christian, look right up here. You scared to make that vow? I will be the first one to caution you when it comes to what the Bible says about making vows. The Bible goes even as far as said it's better not to make a vow than to make one and not keep it. But a lot of times we use that as a cop-out. Here's an idea. Why don't you make it and keep it? Why don't you make it and keep it? Well, Brother Jerry, I don't know if I will. Well, here's one way to do it. Go to an altar and say, God, from this day forward, I want to get involved in the soul-winning opportunities, Lord. And so I'm making that commitment, that vow to You. And dear God, if I stop doing this, now if I stumble, Lord, for a while, pick me up. And I get discouraged, encourage me. But if I stop and turn away from this, just take me on to heaven. Amen. See, folks, what I'm trying to give you a little dose of is old-time Christianity. This new generation of excuse workers, the whole world's going to hell with that kind of stuff. Everybody's got a reason. Everybody's somehow consoled their conscience in this matter where they're the exception to the rule, but I see no asterisk beside the Great Commission. God says for all of us to be fishers, to be fishers of men. But let me say this, folks, it's a process. You know what? You're going to have to stick with it. Sometimes it's going to seem like you go three steps forward and four steps backward. But you know what? Thank God, as we show the Lord Jesus that we're serious about it, God begins to work a work of grace in our heart. Preacher, I don't have the boldness. Just go, you'll get the boldness. I don't even have the compassion. Just go. And as you see, the compassion will come. You know what? Let God just work on you. Don't you love the little course? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun, the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. I don't expect you young men sitting up here to be the kind of soul winner your pastor is. But you know what? At your age, you're farther ahead of me than I was at your age. I didn't even have a teen soul winning. Seventh grader, I wasn't out there being trained. Nobody was teaching a soul winning course. Folks, we just stumbled out of the American Baptist Convention. We were trying to figure out what we were. I mean, it took us a while to even figure out what the phrase soul winning meant and what they were talking about. And you have these opportunities, wonderful opportunities. Aren't you glad, parents, to see them have that opportunity? There's parents in this room right now thinking, you know what? Would to God I would have been taught at that age how to be a soul winner. Some of you parents watch your children. You know what? You're amazed at how easily they can do something that you sincerely struggle with. You know why? Because they're being raised up into it. Encourage your kids to be soul winners. Encourage them to show up to soul winning. Encourage them to be mentored and helped in this area. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. I was watching you young men up here, and I don't know what God's going to do with each and every one of you, but there's a part of me that just said, you know what? There's a group of young people right up there on that platform that God's going to do some pretty amazing things with. Yeah, but preacher, I know some things about him you don't know. Yeah, and God knows some things about you that you ought to be glad he don't tell. Nah, they're not perfect. Nobody's ever claimed we got perfect anything around here. They're not going to be perfect kids. They don't have a perfect preacher. And you know, we're all still finding our way. But I'm telling you, you guys are off to a great start. I'm so proud of you. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do with you. Some of these young men, if God tarries in the next 25, 30 years, could be responsible. Not because they're preaching revivals, not because they're a pastor in a church, but just because they're a faithful layman and they get what I'm preaching tonight. They could be responsible for hundreds of people in this area, this community, or wherever God would lead you, coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. And I was thinking, I talked to Brother Reiser about this just a while back, and we're looking at the children's ministries, how to shore them up, how to make them better. And I told him, I said, I'm so thankful for the years that John, by the way, you pray for John Reiser. You know what? Oh, you're here tonight. Brother John, see, I prayed and here you are. That was quick. How you doing, my friend? How you doing? About half. I'm not sure, honestly, brother, you ought to be here. But I'm thankful that you are. Thank you. But you probably shouldn't be here. He took a horrible fall and ended up in the hospital and then out for a while and back in the hospital. But to be honest with you, don't surprise me that John Reiser's here tonight. All those years, faithful years, he went out and just, watch this, just preached children's church. Oh, that's not much. Brother John, 20 years, wasn't it? 20 years plus preaching children's church. I've said this from the pulpit. I've said it in front of my dad, and he's nodded in agreement. I said, Dad, in the 20 years that you were preaching on Sunday mornings from this pulpit, in the 20 years that Brother John was preaching out in children's church, I said, more people were saved under Brother John's preaching, a layman, than under my dad's preaching. He said, Brother Jerry, you're exactly right. You know what? Statistics prove that out. You know why we don't get saved? See, many adults saved because Jesus said, except a man becomes a little child, not enter the kingdom of heaven. Every once in a while, someone tries to convince me that children can't be saved. Dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Good night. It's not children that's got the problem. It's adults that's got the problem. Children don't have to become adult-like to be saved. Adults need to become childlike to get saved. We think we become smart and think we know something. Next thing you know, we don't want to listen to anybody. And we won't be tender to the Holy Spirit. We get a hard heart. Thank God for those children that wander in. You know what? They got a simplicity of faith. They listen to the Word of God. Watch this. Look up here. I don't know. You know what? Some of you young men, you say, Preacher, I don't feel like God's calling you into the ministry. You know what? What if you spent the next, graduate from high school, keep your nose clean, and find a decent girl to marry, and get busy in a local church, and go to the preacher one day and say, hey, you know what? God put it in my heart one time that maybe I could preach to young people. I'm not ordained, but I'd sure love young people. I'd like a chance to maybe teach a Sunday school class or preach to young people. Who knows in the next 20 years how many young men, how many young ladies you'd kneel beside with an open Bible and lead to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than that. I watch churches go in all kinds of different directions. Folks, I don't pay a whole lot of attention. To be honest with you, all the other churches aren't my responsibility. And I can't dictate, and I don't understand, to be honest with you, a lot of the newfangled thinking. I'm pretty simple. I'm just a country boy. But I know enough of the Word of God to know that I need to stand here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and keep us focused on the main thing. And the main thing is getting the gospel to lost people. Now, preacher, why are we having a fall program again? Why do we have these extra things? Why do we spend some extra money? Is it because we just want some numbers to be able to brag about? No. But I'll tell you this, next Sunday morning, I'd rather preach to 300 than 30. You know why? Because 270 more people to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not about that. And if you're around Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you are honest, you know it's not about that. Why do we have these pushes? Why do we sometimes set goals? Why do we have these special days? You know why? Because here's what the songwriter wrote. The preachers are weary. The singers are tired. The church as we know it is losing its fire. Some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine to keep pressing on. Because if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it'd be worth every struggle. It'd be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. So preachers, keep preaching. Singers, go sing. Laymen, keep sharing. Jesus is King. The angels have gathered. They're surrounding the thorn. They'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. I prayed last night at our Sweet Hour prayer meeting with Brother Reiser and Nathan Walton. And I heard Brother Nathan say, Lord, we're praying for many souls to be saved. But the honest truth is, if just one soul came to you during our fall program, it'd be worth everything. I said, thank God. Thank God. That wasn't a preacher praying that. That was just a layman praying that. Thank God. Maybe we're getting it. Maybe we're understanding it. If you're looking for a social club, this isn't the place that you're going to be happy. If you're looking for a mecca of entertainment, this isn't the place you're going to be happy. If you're looking for a place to kind of sneak in and hide and not be detected and not have much asked of you, this probably isn't going to be the place that's you're going to be very happy. You're going to be uncomfortable because we're going to have messages like this. And it's not the sermon, honestly. It's not making you uncomfortable tonight. It's the Holy Spirit of God making you uncomfortable tonight. Preacher, here's my laundry list of reasons why I can't. Why don't you bring that thing to an altar and set fire to it, tear it into 1,000 pieces, turn your back on it and say, you know what? God's still given me breath. If He's given me breath, then there's some way that I can get the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody who needs it. I want to challenge our church. You know, folks, we saw some miraculous things happen here. It was fun to be able to stand before the people at the prayer meeting last night and say, folks, it wasn't but a few months ago we stood here and we gathered and we prayed, and God so abundantly answered our prayer far beyond what we deserve. Amen. Far beyond what we deserve. We prayed for some miraculous things, and God did what we couldn't even imagine that He would do. And we had, honestly, folks, because of the grace of God, the most wonderful and I think successful fall or spring program in the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We decided, I come up here in the pulpit January, first week of January, and said, folks, let me give you some things I think God wants us to do this year, and I'm praying about that. I'm already praying about 2012. So those of you that are already tired, God bless you. I just want to warn you ahead of time. I'm sorry. I do. I feel bad. No, I don't. I feel a little bit bad sometimes. And by the way, check out this place. We hit it hard, but you know what? We don't run you ragged. And the passing of my father, I came to the pulpit and I said, folks, I'm going through some things and y'all are. It wasn't just a son or losing a dad. It was a church losing their pastor. And I said, we're going through some things, and we need to sort some things out. And I canceled everything on the schedule for June and July, except for soul winning and services. I mean, everything else besides teen camp. I think I didn't do that. But we cleared the schedule, and I said, Let's come to church and let's stay faithful in visiting. And I'm not saying we didn't run the buses. We did. And I'm not saying my dad is a Moses. But you know, when the children of Israel lost a spiritual leader, they took 40 days and they went through a grieving process. And sometimes I feel like we don't take the time to properly grieve. And you may think you're okay, but you're going to find out months and months down the road you're not okay. Are you listening to me right now? Are you getting some help right now? But you take some time to grieve. But you know what? There was a day when the camp of Israel, Joshua stood up and said, the 40 days are done. Let's march. Let's march. And so, you know what? We're marching again. We're going to march again. We'll hit it hard during the months of November, December. Check out my track record for the 6 years I've been here, Pastor Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We back off. We let you have family time. We let you celebrate the holidays. We tone things down. But wouldn't it be good a couple times a year if we just said, you know what, let's just go for it. Let's just watch God do something spectacular and miraculous. Well, let's get involved in these sweet hour prayer meetings. By the way, 7 o'clock every Saturday night between now and the last day of our fall program, we'll be meeting here. Some of you have never, and I'm not picking on you, but you've never spent an hour of prayer in your life. And you know what? Once you do it, you're going to be able to sing sweet hours of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer calls me from a world of care. Something about just gathering together, this formula of united prayer. It works, folks. The book of Acts proves it out 3 different times. You'll find the early church gathered together, same place, one accord, one request. And you know what? All 3 times we see a miracle, an absolutely earth-shattering miracle happen because God's people gathered together and followed the Bible formula. We're not just planning this for something to do. We're planning it because God blesses certain things, and He blesses those that gather in united prayer. I stood before our people and I said, we've been down this road. We prayed the Saturday before our big day. I mean, a week away, 8 days away. As we knelt to pray that Saturday and the next day, and then a week later, we would have our day to try to be one of 501 on 5-01. I didn't know when I knelt here and prayed that Tuesday my daddy would go to heaven. Here are all these plans that we had for the week. As we were doing the last big push for the big day, this church's entire life got turned upside down and our schedules all went in the trash. And we kind of went into survival mode. On the Tuesday before our big day, I held my daddy's hand and watched him take his last breath. And on the Thursday, we had visitation. And by the way, I'm still so blessed. I think of that night and I think of the love that was exhibited by the people that came through. God bless you. And people that traveled in the 2 days, over 40 preachers, many of them at great expense to themselves, came to just come and pay their respects, the passing of my father. And then Friday we had the funeral. Saturday, I didn't care about a big day. Sorry, I'm human. I'm just in survival mode. Can't sleep Sunday night. Come over here at 2:30 in the morning walking around. My God, I don't even know what's going to happen today. But Lord, we've prayed. Please just do something that'll encourage our people. We watched that morning the back doors open. 665 people pulled into this parking lot. You say, people ask me, where'd they come from? I say, I haven't the faintest idea. What's your secret? There is no secret. The secret is it's still a secret. We don't know. Everybody in the church is walking around looking at each other going, where'd these people come from? I don't know. Do you know what's going on? I don't know what's going on. And 345 people. Can you imagine in this auditorium? That was crazy. We had 35 of our church members on. And I'm going to tell you something. You talk about a nervous preacher. If you knew my church members, you'd know that with them behind you, you're behind your back while you're preaching. That was a nerve-wracking experience in itself. But you know what? People just prayed and they worked. And even though we were going through heartache, God just said, I'm going to do something for you. You know what? I can't wait to see what God's going to do in the next few weeks. You know, being your preacher, I got up here last January and I said, folks, we've never broke 500, so we're not going to just do it once. Let's ask God to let us do it twice. And so on October 9th, we're going to try to do it again. I met with the bus workers. Let me give you some details. We've got a bus promotion, of course, and a workings. We're going to have, by the way, Brother Kevin Walker and his dear wife Loretta come in and their family, and they're going to bring their Roundup Ministries, and they're going to have some fun things for the kids after the service. We'll have a good time. And I got our bus workers excited and goals set, and they know what they need to do, and pray for our bus workers. And by the way, our regional visitation opportunities, well, if there's ever a time that our bus workers could use some help and encouragement, show up and help them during these next few weeks. I mean, pick out one of those locations. The times are in your bulletin. Show up. Say, hey, let me go visiting with one of you, or if you want us to just go knock on some door, what do you want us to do? Let's be a blessing. And we're going to have a big day that day and try to get the children in. Drive-in crowd, listen to me. This isn't a bus ministry big day. This is a church-wide big day. And I was so proud of our drive-in crowd. I didn't know what I was doing last time. I chose 26 row captains. We started to call them puke captains, and I thought that was a little, you're walking around with a button that says pew captain. I'm not sure what that's probably not a good thing. So row captains. And, I'm just so excited. It's like, we got 26 pews. We're going to have 26 row captains. Your job's to fill a pew. And then I got thinking later on, what about the people that aren't row captains, and where are they going to sit? And we didn't really have a plan about that, you know. So, but we're not going to do row captains this time. I'm going to do something a little different, and this is it. It's the simplest plan in the world, but it's very effective. Here it is. What's the big plan, preacher? Okay, I'm not on a bus route. I'm just a driving person. What can I do on October 9th? Would each one just bring one? That's it. Between now and October 9th, could you just get on your knees and say, God, I'm going to pray every day, and I'm going to seek your face, and I'm going to go invite. God, please, on October 9th, let me do my part. Let me show up and have somebody that doesn't normally attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church sitting there as a guest beside me. And folks, listen to me. I don't want you inviting other church members. I mean that. Not if they go to good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. I don't like big days that all it is a reshifting of congregations. That's not what we're about around here. I'm talking about going out and finding somebody that needs Jesus. I'm talking about maybe finding a Christian that's fallen away and they used to attend church. And you know, you don't know. Your encouragement, getting them there, something might click that day. Maybe God will call the prodigal back and they'll say, you know what, I miss this and I should be in a place like this and this is what God wants me to do. You don't ever know what God's going to do. But would each one bring one? Would each one bring one? Hey, I'm talking to children. Hey, children, look up here. Your pastor, I'm challenging you. This isn't mommy and daddy stuff. This is little sister stuff. This is little brother stuff. I'm going to tell you something. You young people, you children, look at me. You got secret powers. Yes, secret superhero powers. I mean, grandpa can say no to mom and no to dad, but grandpa will probably say yes to you. Amen there. Can you help me there? Yeah. It's amazing the power of a child when they look in the eyes of an adult and said, would you come and sit in church with me? You just don't know what God might use you to do, who God might use you to reach. I thrilled last spring because many of the visitors, I'm talking about adult visitors, on our May 1st Sunday was brought by the children of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I know children that brought 8, 10, 12 adult visitors. I'm telling you, you got superhuman strength, superhuman powers there. You better take advantage of them. Teenagers, why don't you decide? Every teenager, I'd like you to do some. I've asked a lot of you this year. Can I ask one more thing? October 9th, don't come by yourself. Find somebody. Just find somebody. Preacher, I don't know somebody. Well, go get to know somebody. Ask mom and dad to help you. Go find somebody. Go find that aunt and uncle you've been praying for and ask them to come. Just go do it. I'm also going to do one more thing, and I haven't last time the row captains, I volunteered you by faith. I just walked in and said, "Here's our 26 row captains." Boom, boom. You went, "Yeah, right. What?" You know, with everybody bringing one, I'm going to do something. And by the way, I want this to be God and you, okay? God and you. I'm not mad at anybody. If everybody brings one, you've done everything your preacher wants. But I am going to ask every family to pray about this. I would like to have 10 families. By the way, all I need is 9 because me and Cheryl is going to be one of them. I'm going to call this our 10 of 10. 10 for 10 families. 10 families that are asking God to let their family bring 10 visitors. Now you pray about that. And by the way, if God says, hey, you know what? You ought to just work on one. You just work on one. That's okay. But I'm going to ask you to pray about it. Dads, would you lead in this and pray about this? And just come to me. Men, come to me. Just say, preacher, I'll be one of the 10. You do it privately. And just tell me and let me know. I'd like to have 10 families, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, say on October 9th, we're going to pray, set a goal as a family to try to bring 10 visitors that day. So if everybody will bring one, and 10 families will bring 10, and our bus workers, God bless you, bus workers. I love you. I mean this. You're my heroes. And I mean that with all my heart. These people have completely restructured their weekends to do what they do. And I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them for doing it. But so let's pray for our bus workers and let's expect God to do something. Why? Why? Because Jesus issued a challenge years ago. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the scriptures and the power of the Word of God. Thank you for the sweet Savior. Jesus, your invitation, Lord, I believe, was not just directed to four fishermen. I believe, Lord, that you saw to it that it was inspired and preserved upon the pages of Holy Scriptures. That invitation's for all, every single one that's born again. Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. I pray that you'd help us. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Christians, you haven't had a preacher tonight try to put you on a guilt trip, browbeat you, rough you up. But some of you, the Holy Spirit has been doing that anyway. Preacher, the honest truth is there was a day when I had handy all the time a soul winner's New Testament and I would be able to give testimony when asked about recent opportunities that I've had to witness. The honest truth is the soul winning New Testament is somewhere and it's been far too long since I've gotten into the fishing for men business. And preacher, God spoke to my heart about that. Some of you say, well, preacher, I'm pretty new at all this stuff. And to be honest with you, all of this is kind of coming at me like it came at you when y'all were learning and finding your way. And preacher, you know what? I've never won a soul to Christ. What a wonderful thing that would be if God would let me do that. Some of you say, preacher, when you said, each one bring one. Boy, the Holy Spirit just sounded the cymbals of my heart and said, you could do that. You can do that. Maybe you can't do everything, but you can do that. I want to promise God that I'm going to try to do that with His grace and by His power. I want to accomplish that. Some of you may say, preacher, I don't even have to pray about Holy Spirit. The minute you said 10 for 10, I know I'm supposed to be. By the way, I want this to be non-bus families, non-bus families, non-bus families. I want 10 families that are non-bus families that'll say, preacher, I'll try to bring 10. I'll at least set that as a goal. I'll make that our prayer. I'll head that direction. I don't know what God's done in your heart, but I pray that you're sensitive to it. Lord, bless this sweet time we have now at the end of the message. Thank you, dear God, for this opportunity, Lord, for us to hear your Holy Spirit to respond to His leading in our life. Let's stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed, the piano player's playing, the invitation's open. Listen carefully what the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart about. Follow me. And I will make you to become fishers of men.